Good morning, I'm Alistair, and as we come to our second last sermon in our Isaiah series, let's pray and ask for God's help to understand his word. Gracious and mighty King, we thank you that you are good, that you are sovereign, that you speak to us through your word. We know that this week has been full, there's been plenty to do, and so Lord, as we come here today, we pray that you might help us to rest in you, to hear what you have to say to us, and so that, Lord, we might live our lives for your glory. This we ask in your holy name. Amen. Prior to COVID-19, it's fair to say that I had very little idea of who the Premier of Tasmania was. Like, I knew his name and basically what he looked like, so that was Peter Gutwin, but I had nothing else to do with him. But these days, it's fair to say that I'm impressed. He has been a man of great character, one who's shown cool, calm, consistent leadership all the way through this crisis. He's been one to talk the talk and walk the talk. When he's spoken, things have happened. And this is a refreshing change because too often people are quite happy to talk the talk, but not walk it out, do not live it out. They're all blow and bluster when it comes to talking about things, but rarely do they take action. I mean, it's easy to point the finger at politicians. It seems to happen quite a lot, but we all know people who are like that. All seem to talk lots, but rarely do they do. And you start to realize that these people are just going to disappoint you, because they might say something, but they'll never follow through. And we want to know, when we meet new people, what category are they going to fall in? Are they going to be people of their word, people who prove trustworthy, or are they people who prove false and their words mean nothing? The same can be said for God. When we meet God, we want to know, is he a God that keeps his word? Is his words trustworthy, or are they false? And so as we come to this passage today in Isaiah chapter 55, we're looking and trying to work out whether God's words are trustworthy or not. Should we trust God's words is the question that we're asked. And as we look through this passage, we're going to go back through it and seek to understand it. And then I'm going to make two observations that will help us answer this question: should we trust God's word, and how to apply that to our lives. Here we find ourselves coming to the end of the second last section of our Isaiah roadmap. It's here that God is showing his people what it means to be his servant and calling them to serve the nations. And he's preparing the way for the final stage of the plan, the final transformation of the world, when all will come and all will worship him. This call comes after the suffering servant has brought about this great victory, how he's suffered the punishment in the people's place and has reconciled and restored them to God. He's the one that's come to fulfill God's historic covenant promises. And here in chapter 55, God sends out an invitation for everybody to take part in this transformation. He says in verses 1 to 5, come one, come all. Come those looking for something to quench their thirst for life. Come those who are destitute, those who have no standing and no money. Worry not, because I will provide for you. You who have been chasing after the good life, pouring all your time and energy into things that don't satisfy, you're welcome too. Listen up. Hear me, for I have what you are seeking. I have what will sustain you. It's better than you could ever imagine. Pay attention. This is important. We're talking about life itself. Come, because you will partake in the promises of David, because my suffering servant has fulfilled my covenant with David. He has been glorified for all the world to see. And as you people come, because he gathers and summons you, you too will be partakers in this amazing covenant promise. Verse 6, you who hear this invitation, stop waiting around. Seek Yahweh right now. Don't dilly-dally. Don't delay. Seek him while he may be found. Respond to his call because it won't last forever. Verses 7 to 13. This call is a call to repent from your wicked ways, to give up your folly, to stop rejecting God and turn to him. Put your hope and trust in him, and he will have mercy on you. You will receive pardon that the suffering servant has brought about. Follow God's way, for it is the better way, the higher way, the righteous way. God is the creator of the world, and for us to try and judge him and tell him what to do is the ultimate folly. Don't you understand that the Lord will bring about this by his word? His word will accomplish and achieve all his purposes for which he sent it. Just as the rain waters the earth and brings about beautiful fields of flowers and crops for harvest. Those who do this, those who seek the Lord, will go out in joy and peace because of what Yahweh's word brings about. This call is for all of us, and when we receive it, we'll be like Judy Garland in The Sound of Music, you know, belting out across the hills. The hills are alive. Just joy and pure happiness. Because we'll be restored to God, and his creation as well will be restored. All will see and know of Yahweh's renown, for he has brought this about. God's words here are a call for us to action, to heed his words, and they reveal his plans. They are words to pay attention to because they impact our life. And so we should trust God's word first, because this is the way he has given to seek and hear him. God's word is the way he has given us to seek and hear him. Look at the commands throughout this passage. Verse 1, come. Verse 2, listen. Verse 3, give ear. Verse 4, see. Verse 6, seek. God's words through the prophet Isaiah are a call to hear God and seek God. God reveals himself to Israel and to us through his word. Yes, God can use many ways to speak to us. But the one way he has promised to speak to us is through his word. And this is why we spend so much time in the Bible, why our focus of our services is God's word. Because this is the way we are to seek and hear God. God makes it very clear that there's no class of person that has exclusive access to his word. It's not just for theology students and church ministers. It's for all of us, the poor, the hungry, the destitute. It's for the seekers who keep going after things that don't satisfy. It's for those that are filling their lives with empty promises, numbing themselves through the pursuit of pleasure, or withdrawing themselves in the pursuit of enlightenment. The call is for all of us, you, me, them, to seek and hear God through his word, which we have here in our Bibles. Because the Bible is God's words to us. It's here we meet him, and it's here he reveals his good and great character. It's here we get a picture of the great wrath and great love that he has. We see God as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and as one God, Yahweh. We see the way he continues to save and rescue his people despite their constant rejection of him. Yet too often I think we take this for granted. The Bible is always around. It's on our phones, our computers, and just looking around at my desk, there are at least two Bibles in hard copy that I can see. It's so common that it almost seems unimportant. And so we look for more miraculous ways for God to speak to us. But the reality is that he has promised to speak to us through Scripture. So let's not take this for granted. Let's take time every day to hear and seek God. This isn't any easier for me to do than it is for you, because Oddly enough, I spend so much time in my week in preparation for Bible studies and sermons, thinking about how I might communicate these great truths to you, that I can run the real risk of not first seeking and hearing God myself. But this is the wrong way around. I've learnt the hard way that I'm far better off first hearing and seeking God before worrying about how I might communicate it to anyone else. I have to fiercely guard my time in God's word so that I am first shaped by it before I seek to shape anyone else. So that I might first hear and seek God myself. And as God speaks through the Bible and proclaims this great plan, we realize that these aren't empty words. These words are powerful. They shape the course of history. And as he speaks, things happen. And so second, we should trust God's word because it is the way he brings about his plans and purposes. God's word is the way he brings about his plans and purposes. Look again at verse 10 and 11. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Just last year, we've seen the truth of this illustration. We've seen what happens when the land is without water, but we've also seen what happens when water comes. With rain, fields blossom, green pastures are seen, and crops are grown. So the same can be said for God's word. It brings forth his plans and purposes. It enables us humans to flourish and grow as God had designed and intended. In John chapter 1 verse 14, we're told, "The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." God's powerful and purposeful word is seen fulfilled in Jesus. In Jesus, he brings about his plans and purposes. He enables humanity to see that they've been stained by sin and estranged from God since Adam, but they can be restored through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus fully reveals God's character, his grace and mercy, as well as his justice and wrath. He calls us to follow him, to put our trust in him, and doing so, we put our trust in God's word. Yet so often we treat it with contempt. We ignore it. We ignore the relevance and truth in our lives. We limit its impact by obscuring its message and writing those tricky parts off as being written for a different era or culture and not relevant to us. But we can't pick and choose the bits we like. Because when we do, we disfigure God's word. We turn it into an image that we want rather than God's image, his revelation of himself. So this week, let me challenge you to start reading your Bible. Or if you're going already, keep going. It doesn't have to be a huge amount. Start small if this is the first time. Aim for 5 minutes a day and build from there. Take time to hear and seek God. Let God's word shape you as he works in you to bring about his plans and purposes. Because God's word is totally trustworthy and worth taking the time to invest in. So let's pray and ask for his help to do just that. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that you promise to speak to us through your word. Father, we pray that as this week goes, we might take the time to hear from you, to seek you by reading your word or hearing your word. Father, help us to treasure and value this. Help us to take time in our lives for you. Let it be the source of our strength and our joy. Let it be the basis for our hope and of salvation. For in all things, Lord, we thank you for the way that you have been working to restore us, the way you have made us right with you through the death of your Son, Jesus, and his rising again. Father, help us to live out this truth in our lives, to trust your word and glory in your great and loving kindness. In your holy name we pray. Amen.